We're going to start from the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the last line. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Ziz HaYotze Min HaKosa El Dalet El Dalet, V'hi Niachal Av Sulam Kol Shehu Miyatu. So comes the Gemara, and again, this is kind of a continuation of yesterday's daf. The Gemara says, let's say you have a protrusion, a little beam of wood that protrudes from a wall, and the beam of wood is 4x4 tefachim. So the Gemara says that if you place a ladder of any size against the protrusion, against the beam of wood. So what you're doing is essentially you're diminishing the size of the beam of wood. And as we'll see in the Gemara as we go on, you're essentially creating a passageway through this area into the other rishas. So the Gemara explains, "V'lo amran ela de osve alei, aval osve bahadei arvuche arvuche." This notion that I could take a ladder and put it up against the protrusion, against the projection that's coming out of the wall, and thereby create a passageway, that's assuming that the ladder is flush directly against the protrusion, against the piece of wood that's projecting from the wall. But if I put the ladder next to it or adjacent to the protrusion, so then what you're doing is actually you're expanding the size of the protrusion. In other words, in order to diminish its size, in order to make it, in other words, again, the idea is that once the protrusion is less than 3 tefachim, then we just invoke lavud and we just view everything as being one entity as if it's the entrance to a passageway. So that's assuming that the ladder is flush directly against the protrusion. If it's adjacent to it, so then you're actually going to be expanding the protrusion, which is going to kind of undermine the entire purpose of this. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Amar of Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Kosel Tisha Asar Tzarech Ziz Echad Lahatiro, Kosel Esrim Tzarech Shnei Zizim Lahatiro. The Gemara makes the following distinction. If I have a wall that is 19 tefachim tall, so then I only require one protrusion in order to diminish the size of that wall and in order to enable me to be able to carry within that area. However, if the wall is 20 tefachim, so then I'm going to require two protrusions because I'm going to basically have to diminish the area into two sets of 10 tefachim each in order for it to be considered independent rishuyos. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, V'hu she'amidan ze shelo keneged ze. Rav Chista qualifies this statement, and he says this is assuming that the two protrusions that are sticking out of the wall are not one on top of another. They're not parallel. If they're parallel to one another, even putting out two of these protrusions in a 20 tefach wall is not going to enable you to carry. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Amud berushos harabim gavoa asara v'rachav arba, the knots bo yaseir kol shehu miyato. Let's say I have a platform in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. It's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, which is another way of saying that the platform basically has the halachic status of a Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara says, if I then take, let's say, for example, some pegs, and I insert any amount of pegs into the platform, so what I'm doing by inserting those pegs is diminishing the size of the platform. What does that mean practically? That means that I no longer really have a Rishus HaYachid, because as we know, in order for something to qualify as a Rishus HaYachid, it must be 10 by 4 tefachim. So by inserting pegs into part of the platform, if it's exactly 10 by 4, I'm diminishing that size, which means that it's no longer a Rishus HaYachid, which means that it's basically subsumed under the Rishus HaRabim. So that would mean that it's going to still be considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ada Barahava Uvigavoa Shlosha. So Rav Ada qualifies this statement, and he says this halacha, that if I insert pegs or I insert stakes into the platform, I can diminish the size, that's assuming that the pegs or the stakes that I'm inserting are at least 3 tefachim high. If they're less than 3 tefachim high, so again, based on the principle of lavud, we're going to view them as if they're not really there, as if they're just subsumed under the platform, and it will not undermine, or will not undercut the size of the platform. However, the Gemara says, Abai v'rava damri travayu, afal pi she'in govoa shlosha, my time alo mishtamish le, Abai and Rava disagree. Abai and Rava say that even if the stakes or the pegs are not 3 tefachim high, they can still undercut the size of the platform. Why is that? So the Gemara says, because, in other words, by inserting the pegs or the stakes into the platform, even if they're technically less than 3 tefachim high, you're undermining or you're undercutting your ability to use the entire platform. If you start to insert nails or pegs or stakes into part of a platform, that part is no longer usable, no matter how tall or short the pegs or stakes are. So according to Abai and Rava, this isn't a lavud issue, this is really more of a practical issue. If practically putting in the pegs or the stakes is going to impede your ability to use the entire platform, that is going to undermine the size of the platform anyway. And then the Gemara quotes a third opinion, Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Shegavoa Shlosha. My Taima, Efshar Desalya Be Midi, Rav Ashi comes and says that even if the pegs and stakes are higher than 3 Tfachim, it's still not going to undermine the size of the platform. Why not? So the Gemara says, because they're still functional. You can still use those pegs or stakes to, let's say, hang something upon it. So even though, yes, it may be impeding your ability to walk over the entire platform, but because you can still use them for some purpose, you can still hang something on them, for example, that's enough, that's considered to be sufficient use to, in other words, to not diminish, to not undermine the size of the platform. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Acha b're d'rava le Rav Ashi, milo kulo b'yaseidos mahu. The question becomes, what if I fill the entire platform with pegs, with these stakes? So the question now becomes, does that diminish the size of the platform or not? Again, this is all according to Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi just told us that even if the pegs are higher than 3 tefachim, it doesn't matter, because they still have functionality. I can still hang something on them, so it's not going to undermine the size of the platform. So the question is, okay, but what if I fill the entire platform with pegs? So now it's physically impossible to walk anywhere on the platform, but I can still hang something on it. So in other words, the question is, which of those factors should play out here? So the Gemara says, Amar Leilo Shmielach Ha'ad Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bur V'chuliyasa Mitztarif Liyasara Ve'amai Halo Mishtamish Lei Ela Mayis L'chalameimar Demanach Midiyu Mishtamish Hachanami Demanach Midiyu Mishtamish. So comes the Gemara and compares this case, the case where I filled the whole platform with pegs, to a case of a pit that has what's called the chuliyasa. The chuliyasa is like the embankment, the part that surrounds the pit, the part where really you can't really walk in that part unless you put something down on top of the pit. So the Gemara says that when it comes to figuring out the size of a pit for the purposes of Hilchos Shabbos, the Gemara says that we use that, in other words, we factor in that embankment, that surrounding part around the pit, into the size of the pit, into the 10 tefachim size of the pit, despite the fact that you can't really use that area. That area is not really functional. So the Gemara says, you see from here that despite the fact that you can't walk over the pit with nothing on top of it, nonetheless, because you can still use it for something, for some other purpose, you can hang something there, you can leave something there, so too in the case of the platform, even if I fill the entire platform with pegs, with stakes, and I can't really walk there, but because I can hang things on the pegs, on the stakes, that's good enough. That's considered to be a sufficient usage, and it's not going to undermine the size of the platform. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kosel Atzara, Tzarech Sulam Arba Asar Lahatiro. So comes the Gemara and says, let's say I have a 10 tefach wall, and I want to be able to take a ladder to act as a passageway to let me cross over into the wall on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you need to have at least a 14 tefach ladder. Where does that number come from? Why 14 tefachim? So basically, the way the Rishonim explained this is that the number 14 in relation to 10 is essentially what the diagonal would be. So if a square is 10 tefachim, we know that the diagonal of that square is going to always be 1.4 tefachim greater than the size of the side of the square. So in this case, that's going to mean if the square itself, if the wall itself is 10 tefachim, the diagonal of that wall is going to be 14. So if I lay the ladder flush diagonally against the wall, it needs to be at least 14 tefachim in order to get over the top of the wall. That's according to the first opinion. That's according to Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. However, Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Shlosha Asaru Mashu. According to Rav Yosef, it doesn't have to be the full 14. It could even be 13 plus tefachim. That would be enough, because then at least it gets to within a tefach of the top of the wall. That's sufficient. Abai Amar Afilu Achad Asaru Mashu. And then Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua Amar Afilu Shiva Umashu, that according to Abaye, even if it's 11 plus tefachim, that's enough. Why is 11 plus tefachim good? Because that's already within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall. Based on the principles of Lavud, that would be sufficient. And according to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua, even if it's 7 plus tefachim, that would also be enough, because according to Rav Huna, you don't have to lay the ladder diagonally. You can put the ladder upright. You can put the ladder erect next to the wall, and that would also get you to within 3 tefachim if you're measuring in a straight line. Because again, the wall itself is only 10 tefachim. So if I put the ladder, let's say, is 7.5 tefachim, so if I put the ladder upright, that would still get me to within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall, and that would therefore enable me to carry over the wall. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Sulam Zakuf Mema'it Gemara Velo Yadara Maitaima. So in other words, the Gemara comes and says, right, Rav comments that the notion that a ladder which is upright as opposed to one which is placed diagonally can diminish the size of the wall, in other words, can enable me to carry, that's a tradition, that's a Mesorah that we have. However, Rav commented that he was unsure what the logic, what the reasoning behind this halacha was. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel Velo Yada Abba Taima Dehamilsa Midi Dehava Itzdeval Gaga Gabe Yitztava. So Shmuel wondered, he says, how does Rav not know the reasoning behind this halacha? It's obvious. He says, this halacha, this notion that if I put a ladder upright, it can diminish the size of the wall, is exactly comparable to a case of what's called an Yitztava al Gabe Yitztava. An Yitztava al Gabe Yitztava means I basically have two platforms that are one on top of another. So even though, yes, it's going to be difficult for me to get from one platform to the next, it's not an easy jump to get from one to the other, but because there is technically a way for you to get there, therefore that is considered to be a sufficient enough passageway to create, to consider it like one area. So too, in the case of the ladder, even though it's usually easier to climb a ladder when it's flush diagonally against the wall as opposed to if it's upright, it's much harder to climb a ladder when it's upright, but because it is technically possible to do so, therefore the Gemara says that is considered to be sufficient to create this passageway and to create a valid mechitza here. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Dekalim shebebavel einon tzrichin keva, maitayim akfeidon kovatan. So comes Rabba and says that these palm trees in Bavel do not require a specific fixture. In other words, I don't need to set up my palm trees to grow specifically next to the wall. Why not? Because since they're so heavy, so the weight of the palm trees itself is going to establish them as being a permanent fixture, and therefore they will act as a valid mechitza to enable me to carry over the wall. And then the Gemara says, similarly, Rav Yosef Amar Rav Oshia, Sulamos shebebavel einan shrichin keva, maitayim akfeidon kovatan. The Gemara quotes a similar halacha regarding the ladders in Bavel. Apparently, the ladders they used to use in Bavel were extremely heavy, and people typically would not really move them. So if you were to place a ladder somewhere next to the wall, you didn't need to do anything specific. You didn't need to, let's say, for example, to designate the ladder as a mechitza, as a passageway to get over the wall, because it was assumed that when you put a ladder from Bavel next to the wall, it was going to stay there forever. No one was going to move that ladder. It was too heavy to move. So the Gemara says that, again, you don't need to specifically designate it, again, because of its weight. The Gemara just comments, Man de Amar Sulamos Kol Shekein de Kolim, Man de Amar de Kolim Avos Sulamos Lo. The Gemara just points out that these two halachos are, in a way, mutually exclusive. In other words, if you hold, like that second halacha we quoted, that the ladders in Bavel are so heavy and no one's going to move them, and therefore they don't require specific designation, that would certainly be true when it comes to trees, because in the case of trees are meant to be planted and to be permanent and not to be moved around. However, if you think this halacha is unique to the trees of Bavel, so then you would say that it would not extend to the case of a ladder, because even though a ladder may be very heavy, but because it is technically, again, still possible to move the ladder, again, despite its weight, therefore, one could argue that this halacha would not extend over to the case of the ladder if you only subscribe to the first halacha regarding the trees. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Ba'amine Rav Yosef me Rabba, Sula mikan v'Sula mikan v'Kashin ba'emtza mahu." What if you have the following setup? Let's say I have two ladders on the sides, each of which are two tefachim, let's say, or just under two tefachim, and then in the middle, the rungs of this ladder are made up of straw. So if I were to combine the straw together with the actual, let's say, wooden part of the ladder, I would have four tefachim, which otherwise would qualify as a valid ladder to climb over the wall for a mechitza. The obvious problem is that the rungs are made of straw, and of course, if you were to walk on the straw, it would all collapse. So the question is, should that undermine the status of this ladder as a mechitza? So the Gemara says, Amar Leh in Kafa Regel Olabahen. The Gemara says, of course it's going to undermine the status of the ladder. You can't walk on straw. When you put your foot on a straw rung, everything's going to collapse by definition. So therefore, that is not considered to be a valid mechitza for this wall. Then the Gemara says, okay, what about the opposite? What about kushin mikan the kushin mikan the sulam ba'emtza mahu? However, in the opposite, if let's say the sides of the ladder, right, were made out of straw, but the rungs themselves were wooden, so the Gemara says that's okay, that's fine, because in that case, right, it's the exact opposite. You can still walk up and down the ladder because the rungs themselves are made out of wood. Okay, then the Gemara asks, chakak lahashlim bechosel bechama. Let's say I have a ladder, but the ladder itself is not 10 tefachim. Let's say the ladder is, I don't know, 8 tefachim, but I want to, let's say, carve out 2 tefachim in the wall in order to extend the ladder. I want to be able to essentially extend the ladder by adding 2 tefachim of ladder space by carving out part of the wall. What would the halacha be in that case? So the Gemara says, Amar Leba Asara. The Gemara says the only way that carving out part of the wall is going to act as a sufficient enough mechitza to enable you to carry is if you carved out at least 10 tefachim. In other words, you can't just carve out 2 tefachim and call it a day. You have to carve out at least 10 tefachim from the wall in order to be able to carry in that case. Then the Gemara says, Amar Le, Chakako Kulo Bechosa Bechama, Amar Le Melo Komasa. Then the Gemara says, what about if, let's say, I don't have a ladder Bechlal? I want to just make grooves and notches within the wall itself to be able to allow one to climb up the wall, almost kind of like rock climbing. You want to be able to climb up the side of the wall to get over. So how much do you need to carve out of the wall in that case? So the Gemara says, you have to carve a malo komasa. In other words, whatever the size of your height is, which is going to usually be a lot more than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara asks, umayishna, what's the difference? How come in a case where I have a pre-existing ladder, all I need to do is carve out 10 tefachim, but if there's no ladder, bichlab, and I just want to carve out the grooves in the wall to begin with, I have to do that, you know, I have to carve out into a measurement that corresponds to my height. So the Gemara says, it's very simple. Amar le hasa mistalikli, hachalo mistalikli. The Gemara says, when you already have a ladder, it's much easier to traverse, to scale up the side of the wall. When there's no ladder, bichlal, you're just relying on all the grooves and the notches that are inside of the wall, it's much more challenging to do that, so you're going to require a lot more grooves and notches in the wall in order to be able to get over the hump of the wall. Okay, then the Gemara says, ba'amine Rav Yosef me'raba, aso le'ilan sulam mahu. What if a person took a tree and converted the tree into a ladder? In other words, is effectively using the tree to get over the wall. So what's the issue here? So the Gemara explains, tibay le'rebi, tibay le'rabana, tibay le'rebi, ad kan lo ka'amar rebi hasam kol dov. So what's the issue here? So we know, of course, that there's an Isser Derabbanan on Shabbos to climb up a tree. Again, it's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Beitzer, right? Because we're afraid they may come to snap off a twig. So we know there's an Isser Derabbanan to climb up a tree. However, there's a further machlokas, which we also had earlier in this Masechta, between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, regarding whether a person can place an Eruv Chatziros in a tree. Rebbe happens to hold that an Eruv Chatziros in a tree is valid, whereas according to according to the Rabbanan, it's not. So the question is, what exactly are the parameters of those halachas? So in other words, according to Rebbe, what's the reason why Rebbe says that I can place an Erev Chatzeros in a tree? Why is that okay? If again, we know that climbing a tree is an Isser D'Rabbanan. So this gets back to a famous principle that we spoke a lot about in Masechta Shabbos, which is basically what's called, Kol Davar Shehu Mishum Shavus Lo Gazru Rabbanan Ben Ashmashos. Anything which is only Asr Mi D'Rabbanan on Shabbos, Chazal did not impose that Gzera D'Rabbanan until after Tzeis HaKochavim, during the period of Ben Hashmash, the period between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim going into Shabbos, so none of the Yisurei D'Rabbanan apply. They only begin once Tzeis HaKochavim begins. So in other words, the Gemara says like this, that maybe the reason why Rebbe says that you can place your Eruv Chatzeros in a tree, even though there's an Yisurei D'Rabbanan to scale a tree on Shabbos, is because, yeah, this is Ben Hashmash. So during Ben Hashmash, there are no Yisurei D'Rabbanan, so therefore it's okay. But the problem is that once Shabbos actually begins after Tzeis HaKochavim, now we have a problem. So maybe even Rebbe would agree that you cannot do that anymore. In other words, climbing a tree is not going to be okay after Shabbos already starts. That's one option. The other option is to say that maybe the Rabbanan, in other words, even the Rabbanan who say that you're not allowed to place an Eruv Chatzeros in a tree because, again, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos, mean the Rabbanan, maybe the Rabbanan would argue that in this case, if I have a tree that's acting as a ladder, so to speak, to get over the wall, even though I'm not allowed to climb that tree, but it could very well be that it's still considered a valid mechitza. Why? Because the only thing that's impeding me from climbing the tree is basically halacha, right? In other words, the Gemara quotes an expression, it's almost like there's a lion crouching in front of me. If there was a lion in front of a door, in other words, you wouldn't say that the door is inaccessible, it's just you would never walk through that door. The door is still there, the mechitza is still valid, it's just that you have a technical problem. So too here, in other words, in this case as well, the tree itself is considered to be a valid ladder in terms of climbing over the wall, it's just that halacha is impeding your ability from climbing over the wall. So in other words, that one could argue that even though the Rabbanan would tell you can't put an Eruv Chatzeros in a tree, but nonetheless, they would still say that this is going to technically act as a valid mechitza to let you get over the wall. That's one case. And the Gemara quotes a similar case. The Gemara says, "Asola Ashira Sulama." What if you had a different scenario? So this is not really a Shabbos a case per se, but let's say I took an Ashira tree, a tree that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah. And we know, of course, that an Ashira tree is Asr Bahana. So the question is, if I want to now convert this Asherah tree into some kind of a ladder to climb over the wall, what would the halacha be in that case? So the Gemara explains, Tiboy le Rabbi Huda, Tiboy le Rabbanan. It's the same Shaila. Tiboy le Rabbi Huda, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Huda hasam, de mutter liknos bias be Isure Hana, el hasam de vasar de kanale eruv lo nechale de lintar, o dilma filu le Rabbanan, pischehuva aria de revial. So a very similar type of a question. According to Rabbi Huda, so Rabbi Huda happens to hold that it is permissible for a person to purchase a house using Isure Hana. So we know, let's say, for example, a grave, right? A grave is something which is Asr Bahana, right? Because obviously a dead body is Asr Bahana, or let's say in our case, the Asherah tree is obviously Asr Bahana. So the Gemara says, I am allowed to purchase, let's say, a house, for example, with Isurei Hana, but the thing is that when it comes to the case of the Eruv Chatzeros, for example, a person doesn't really care about what happens to the Eruv once Shabbos already begins. We spoke a lot about this earlier in the Masechta. In other words, once you've already established your Eruv and Shabbos has already started, even if something were to happen to that Eruv later on, it doesn't really make a difference anymore. As long as the Eruv was in place when Shabbos began, that is good enough. So one can argue that, yes, it's true that Rebbe Huda holds that you're not allowed to purchase, I'm sorry, that you're allowed to purchase a house with Yisurei Hana, but the thing is that in the case of, let's say, the grave or the Asherah tree, once you've established your Eruv, you don't care what happens to it anymore. At that point, everything is kind of up in the air. Or you can argue, again, like we said in the previous Gemara, that according to the Rabbanan, it's really just a halachic impediment that you have here. There's nothing physically wrong with this tree, except for the fact that the tree is an Avodah Zarah tree, so it's obviously Asur Ba'anah. The same way that in the previous case we said that technically the tree can act as a ladder, it's just that today is Shabbos, and you're not allowed to climb a tree midrabbanan on Shabbos, so too, this tree is also technically going to be effective as a ladder, but again, because it's an Asherah tree, you have this halachic impediment, you have this lion crouching in front of the door, the same metaphor we gave before, that's impeding your ability to use the tree. So what exactly is the answer to both of these questions? So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Ilan Mutter V'Asherah Asura. The Gemara draws a distinction between a regular tree on Shabbos, where the Gemara says that would in fact act as a valid mechitza to enable you to carry over the wall, whereas when it comes to an Asherah tree, the Gemara says that would pose a problem. You would not be allowed to use that as a valid ladder to get over the wall. So the Gemara asks, Maskeflor Rav Chista Adarabba, Ilan She'Isr Shabbos Gorim Lo Nitzar, Asherah She'Isr Davar Acher Gorim Lo Nitzar. The Gemara says, if anything, I would have said the opposite, because in the first case of the tree on Shabbos, that is a Shabbos-oriented problem. So there, in other words, the Gemara says it would seem to make a lot more sense to suggest that should pose a problem on Shabbos. An Asherah tree is not a Shabbos issue, it's an Avodah Zarah issue. It's an issue all the time. So because it's not a Shabbos-specific problem, one could have argued, in fact, the Gemara does argue, that it should in fact be valid as a ladder to use on Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara corroborates this. Itmar Nami, ki asa ravin amar Rabbi Elazar, va'amri lo amar Rabbi Avam, Rabbi Yochanan, kol she'isr Shabbos garam lo asr, the Gemara says that is in fact the halacha, that if it's something Shabbos oriented that's preventing you from scaling the tree, let's say, then yes, that is going to pose a problem. That is not going to act as a valid mechitza to get you over the wall. Whereas if it's some other problem, like an Asherah tree, for example, then that is not going to undermine your ability to carry in this area. And the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masne Hachi, Ilan Plugta de Rebbe v'Rabbanan, Asherah Plugta de Rebbe Huda v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara just says in this other version, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak presented it slightly differently, where he said the case of the regular tree on Shabbos is subject to machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So in other words, according to Rav Nachman, he didn't start to draw these distinctions that we made in our Gemara before. He just said everything is very cut and dry. According to Rebbe, that you can place your Eruv in a tree, so Rebbe also holds that a tree would be a valid mechitza to get over the wall, and the Rabbanan would disagree. And he says that the case of the Asherah tree is also a machlokas between Rebbe Huda and the Rabbanan, where Rebbe Huda would say that you can use the Asherah tree as a valid mechitza, whereas the Rabbanan would disagree. So he doesn't start to get into all these distinctions that we just drew in the Gemara before him. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. Quick question. Mm-hmm. If a tree is prohibited, then a tree is prohibited. We're not limiting.
No, so what? Correct. We're not, in other words, practically, you're not going to be scaling this tree if it's an Asherah tree or if it's Shabbos. But again, the issue here is whether this can act as a valid mechitza to let me carry, you know, in the area that's over the wall. Right, that's the issue. So, in other words, that's exactly what the machlokas in the Gemara is. Okay, so the Mishnah now says charit shebein beis chatzeros amok yud verochav dalid ma'arvin shnayim ve'ein ma'arvin echad afilu mole kasho teven mole afarot tsroros ma'arvin echad ve'ein ma'arvin shnayim. The Mishnah says the following: let's say I have a ditch that's situated between two courtyards, two chatzeros. The ditch itself is 10 by 4 tefachim deep. So the Mishnah says that you can create two separate eros for the two chatzeros, because having a 10 by 4 ditch is basically a Rosh Hashayach. It's basically separating the two areas. You cannot, however, only make one Eruv Chatzer. So you have to make two separate ones because they're considered to be two separate areas. And the Mishnah says that's even true if you were to fill up the ditch using Kash Oteven, using hay or straw. However, if you were to fill up the ditch using dirt or pebbles or stones or things like that, so then you can, in fact, make one Eruv. Again, we'll see in the Gemara why that is. Then the Mishnah says, Nasan Alav Neser Sherachav Arba Tfachim. Let's say I take a board, a plank of wood that is at least 4 Tfachim wide. V'chein Beiz Gizu Stro Zo Connected, or I have two balconies that are opposite one another, and I place at least a 4 tefach board that connects the two balconies that enables me to walk back and forth between the two balconies. So then the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin Shnayim, Ve'imratzu Ma'arvin Echad. Then I'm allowed to make two Eruvs, but I'm also allowed to make one single Eruv Chatzeros if I want to. However, Pachos Mikan, Ma'arvin Shnayim, Ve'im Ma'arvin Echad. But if it's less than a 4 tefach board, then I have to only make two separate Eruvs. I cannot make one Eruv even if I wanted to. So what's the issue here? So the Gemara asks, V'seven Lochayim. Is it really true that straw and hay that we mentioned in the Mishnah is not going to act as a valid interposition? In other words, we said in the Mishnah, let's say I have a pit that's 10 by 4 tefachim and I fill it up with straw or hay, the Mishnah says that's still not going to work. You're still going to have to make two separate eros for the two chatzeros. The question is, why should that be? We have a Mishnah Mishnah actually on tomorrow's daf. Mas bein shebein shtei chatzirut gavoa asara tfachim ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad. The Mishnah tells us that if I have straw that is situated, or hay that is situated between these two courtyards, if the pile of hay or straw is at least 10 tfachim high, so the Mishnah says on tomorrow's daf that you can make two separate eruvs. That would seem to, in other words, and not one. That would seem to imply that the straw is actually acting as a form of a separation. So the Gemara says no. Amar Abaye le'inyan mechitza kuli amalo pligi dahavya mechitza aval le'inyan chatzitza ibat lechayetz vilo bat lelo chayetz. Abaye makes the following distinction. He says straw or hay, it can act as a valid mechitza, that's true, but it can only act as a valid chatzitza, it can only act as a valid form of an interposition if you nullify the straw. In other words, if you were to take straw and throw it into a pit and say, you know what, I don't want the straw anymore, I want the straw to just act as dirt essentially, so then yeah, then the straw will act as a valid interposition, and then you can get away with making just one ear. That would be good enough. However, if you still value the straw, let's say you want to still feed the straw or the hay to your animals, so throwing it into the pit is not necessarily, you know, in other words, it's not necessarily signifying the fact that you're just getting rid of it, you still care about it, you still want to keep it around, so then that's not going to act as a valid chatzitza, and then you're going to have to still create, in other words, and then we're going to view the two areas, the two mechitzos, as being one area. Okay.
Does the straw in the ditch then reduce the 10 by 4?
So that's exactly the issue here. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out, because again, if you were to say that the straw is meaningless, I'm just throwing it away, so then yeah, then it would start to affect the, you know, the dimensions of the pit. But if you still value the straw and you still wanted to keep it around to feed your animals, let's say, so then it's not going to have any impact on the pit whatsoever. Okay? Okay, so we'll see as we go on in the Gemara right now in a second, and we'll see that it actually makes all the difference in the world, because all this depends on your mindset. If you're going to decide to be mevatel, to say, you know what, I don't care about this, I'm just going to nullify it, it's going to be like, you know, after the ara, it's going to be like dirt, so okay, now it's going to be considered like dirt. But if you start to put things in the ground that are not really supposed to be there, that you're meant to keep around, you can't say that diminishes the size of the hole. It has to be something which qualifies as dirt or pebbles or stones or things like that. Okay, so then the Mishnah told us Maloaf. The Mishnah said Maloaf. If you fill the pit with dirt or with pebbles or stones, so that will in fact diminish the size of the pit. So the Gemara asks, Va'afilu b'stama? Is that true? Even without specification? Let's say I just filled the pit with stones, with rocks, with pebbles, but I never specified what my intentions were, so does that also diminish the size of the pit? The problem is, v'hasnan, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Ahalos. The Mishnah says, bayis shemiluhu teven otsroros uvitlu batel, bitlu in lo bitlu lo. The Mishnah in Ahalos says, if I have a house that is filled with straw or filled with rocks, so the Mishnah says that if I nullify the rocks or the straws, so then it's going to be considered batel, but if I didn't, the implication, of course, is that it's not. What's the context of this Mishnah in Ahalos? The Mishnah is discussing the halacha of Tumas Meis, of Tumas Ohel, of the Ohel, the house becoming Tomei because of a dead body there. So the issue becomes whether the outside of the house also becomes Tomei. Typically, if you have a dead body in the house, so just the inside of the house would become Tomei. So the issue here is that if I fill the house with straw, with rocks, with whatever, so the Mishnah says that if you nullify them, if they just become like part of the dirt floor, so then they're going to be batel, and that is going to in fact create a problem where the tumah is going to spread everywhere. But let's say, for example, they're not batel, right? So then the halacha is that tumah is going to be kind of contained to only within the confines of the house. So says the Gemara, Amaravuna Mantana Ahalos Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara says, no, you can't bring a proof from this Mishnah, because we know that Rabbi Yosi was the author of most of Meseches Ahalos, and you can argue that our Mishnah disagrees with Reb Yossi. So even though Reb Yossi may subscribe to this notion that yes, in fact, even without specification, dirt and pebbles and rocks can act as a valid form of a chatzitza, but maybe our Mishnah, our Tana, disagrees with that. So the Gemara says, but hang on a second, Reb Yossi, ipcha shemin alei. Desanya Reb Yossi omer, teven ve'in asid lefanoso, Harehu kistam offer uvatel, offer v'asid lefanoso, harehu kistam tevin velo batil. The problem is that if we're going to start citing Rabbi Yossi's opinion, so Rabbi Yossi in a Tosefta in Meseches Ahalos has a very different take on this issue. Rabbi Yossi in the Tosefta says that these halachos about whether dirt or straw or pebbles or rocks are nullified to the floor of the house or not has nothing to do with the actual actual material. It has nothing to do with whether it's straw versus rocks. That's not the issue. The issue is, what's your mindset? Am I planning to get rid of this? Am I planning to, to have this be, you know, subsumed under the floor? Or am I planning to have this as a separate entity? So if that's the case, so asks the Gemara, so you see that has nothing at all to do with whether we're talking about straw versus rocks versus whatever, right? So says the Gemara, Elo Amaravasi man tana irvin Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara says, you're right, that we actually misunderstood what the Gemara said before. Really, what the Gemara should have said is that not that Rabbi Yosi is the author of the Mishnayos of Ahalos, but rather that he's the author of the Mishnayos of Maseches Erevin, which is relevant, obviously, for our Gemara. He's the author of our Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua Amar, Tuma Shabbos Karamis, Hanachis or Shabbos, Da Afilu Arniki Nami Mevatel Inish. So comes the Gemara and says that, in other words, why are you trying to contrast the halachos of Tuma to the halachos of Shabbos? They're two radically different areas of halacha. In the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, a person would look at a purse, at a wallet full of money, and say, I'm going to leave that away. I'm going to leave that on the side, because, of course, you're not allowed to carry that on Shabbos because it's muktzah. So, in other words, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, our standards are very different. When it comes to Hilchos Tuma, I wouldn't just look at a wallet full of money and say, oh yeah, you know, like, forget about it. I don't care about it. But by Hilchos Shabbos, because anyway, the halacha is impeding me from carrying that on Shabbos, so my perspective is going to be very different. So the Gemara says, you can't start comparing, you know, Shabbos to Tuma. They're two totally different areas of halacha. Then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Bayis Acharetz Karamis Bishlam Acharetz Lemit Miyekai Ela Bayis Lemit Miyekai. Then the Gemara has a further contrast. The Gemara says, again, you can't compare a house to a ditch. Why not? So the Gemara says, when it comes to a ditch, so I understand the purpose of a ditch is to fill it up. But no one looks at the dirt floor of a house, again, when the houses used to have dirt floors, and says, oh, let me fill the entire house with dirt. That's not the purpose of a house. So the Gemara says, again, you can't draw comparisons between houses and ditches, because again, they're two totally different, you know, two totally different things. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Nasan alav neser sheruch avdaf. If I take a board that's at least four tefachim wide and I place it on top of the pit, that can in fact act as a valid chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shenasan l'rachbo, aval arka wafilu kol shehu nami shaharei miato midale. That halacha is only where I place the board along the width of the pit. But if I place the board along the length of the pit, then even if the board is a tiny board, it's less than four tefachim, it doesn't matter. That's still going to be valid because it's going to diminish. It's going to decrease the size of the pit from the four tefachim. And then finally, the Mishnah said, "V'chein shteig zustro zokenai zof." If I had two balconies opposite one another, and I took a four tefach board and placed it across, so that would also be valid to connect the two balconies. So Amar Rava, "Hada Amar zokenai zof in zof shelo kenai zof lo v'zof lemalam izof nami lo Amar ela sheyish bein zel lazesh shlosha tefachim aval ein bein zel lazesh shlosha gezustra amuka." The Gemara basically says, if the gap between the two balconies is less than three tefachim, that's what we call a crooked or a bent balcony, and therefore the Gemara says that we cannot view them as if they're one entity, no matter how big or small the board is. So if the space, the gap between the two balconies is less than three tefachim, then we just invoke the principle of Lavud, and we assume that the two are not really connected.